everybody, and welcome to my podcast, Fulfillment in Faith. I am your host, Shannon Bondor, and I am a best-selling author, mentor, mindset and manifesting coach, and public speaker. Today's episode is a continuation of my series, You Are Not the Only One. I was brought forth to do this series because during my healing from my addiction to alcohol, there were so many times that the universe had brought me to silence. And during those times is when I learned so many things about myself and I was guided. I was guided to talk openly about my past, my abuse, my addiction, and to speak my truth. From those moments of silence is when we learn, we grow, we teach, and then we help others. Well, hello. So today we have a very, very special guest, and I just love this man. His name is Brian Bosley, and I have had the honor of being on his podcast just a little bit of time ago, and it was one of the most wonderful experiences that I have ever had. And as we were talking, I was so blessed and honored to be in his presence. But not only I realized that he definitely fitted, the topic that I wanted him to be on for my podcast, which is You Are Not Alone. So I would like to introduce you to Brian Bosley. So welcome, Brian. How are you?
Thank you, Shannon. I'm doing well. Thank you.
Wonderful. Oh, God. You know what? I just love your voice. It just reminds me so much of like Sean Connery or, those famous actors. And, you know, maybe you'll be famous someday or you could be famous already. I don't know. We're going to find out.
To my grandson, I'm famous.
Well, that's wonderful. That's all that counts.
That's all that matters, right?
So, Brian, would you like to get into talking a little bit about yourself, where you're from? And right from there, if you want to go into your time of stillness.
Yeah, I don't really, pardon me, but the time of stillness, I hope I can get there with you on this one. I hope I can fit your qualifications for this. But so I'm actually from Michigan, born and raised in a very small town in the upper part of Michigan. I'm a youngest of five children, and I now live in the upper part of Michigan. I just moved from Grand Rapids, Michigan 2 years ago. To be closer to my daughter and her husband and my grandson, Jack. Shout out to Jack. And to my son, Dawson, who is a junior at Northern Michigan University. So my mother is my hero. She's still alive. She's 88 years old and lives in my hometown in the house that I was born and raised in. And shout out to my mom as well. And that's kind of my short history right there.
Well, there
that's a little bit of that's who I am today anyway, a little bit where I came from, Shannon.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Okay, there you go. So let's get into your time of stillness.
Help me out with time of stillness. What does that mean for you?
Time of stillness for me, like I've had several of those times within my life where I was literally brought to my stillness definitely when I drank alcohol, and one of them was when I hit rock bottom. And it was at that time where I had basically a crossroads. I could continue on with what I wanted to do in life and continue drinking, or else I could totally stop. And it was in those times that I really listened to what the universe was saying and was guiding me, right? And of course, I decided that I was going to become the individual that I am today. And what is it that I learned from that time when I was during those years that I was in alcoholism? I learned so many, so many things. And that's actually brought me to where I am today, this moment in time, because now I am helping hundreds of people out there who are going through the same thing. But I've also brought forth opportunities for individuals like you and all those other people that are coming on my podcast, literally from all over the world, now that they've got the strength to talk about their time of stillness that they want to share with other people so that they can help hundreds of other people just like I'm doing. That's okay. What I mean by the moment of stillness.
Ooh, okay, wonderful. Well, if you don't mind then, Shannon, I'll kind of start with where it all started as a child.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
And go forward from there. Yeah. So I actually had the pleasure of talking 5 weeks ago to a men's organization on this subject, and I'm doing another talk at Michigan State University here on the 21st or 18th of September on this topic. So what happened for my, kind of go back to my history, to my childhood, when I was 4.5 years old, my father, who was only 36 at the time, me being the youngest of five kids, I was 4.5. I think my brother was 17, my oldest brother. My dad died of a heart attack, kind of completely unexpectedly, and left my mother with five children, from 17 to 4.5 years old, you know. I remember the day. I can remember the night like it was, you know, yesterday. Not to be cliche, but I do remember the night. I remember the funeral. And what happened, Shannon, is after that, my mother decided to go back to work, or really maybe had to. My dad left us in pretty good position with insurances and things like that. And he was a business owner. And my mother went back to work. So I was entrusted to an extended family member to help babysit me while my mother was working. And at the time I was going to kindergarten, I would go to kindergarten at noon. It was half day kindergarten. And so in the mornings I would be entrusted by these, by this extended family member. And unfortunately I was molested and abused, both on a daily basis by this extended family member. And until probably for about 2 years, that 1 year of kindergarten plus on and off after that, until this person died when I was 6 years old. So 6.5 years old. So it was about 2 years of this went on. And I never forgot it. Like, I never lost memory. I always knew it happened. I never went through a black period or a dark period where I lost memory of the events that occurred. But I always felt guilt, shame, embarrassment. I mean, I remember getting on the school bus as a kid, having just been molested. This person would walk me to the school bus and put me on a school bus, and I'd get on with all my friends and everybody was happy. And I couldn't grasp this concept of how can you be so lighthearted and happy? Because the problem with the abuse is that the abuser would tell me that I'm a bad boy. And the reason my dad died is because I'm a bad boy. And then I had killed him because of my behavior. And so I had this incredible guilt growing up, incredible shame growing up, embarrassment. And that extended all through. And it really hit ahead my senior year of high school. So in April or May of 1985, I had a Ford F-150 pickup and I couldn't take the pain anymore. So I actually drove to this one location. We live on, my hometown is on the crossroads of where Lake Michigan and Lake Huron meet. So we're on the water to two major Great Lakes. And I drove it to this boat launch, and I was going to launch my boat into the water and just kill myself. And this was April or May, probably May of 1985, my senior year of high school. And something told me not to. I don't know what it was. It just maybe fear, maybe, I don't know. Something interjected and said, this is not your time. And so fast forward to August of that year, I was leaving to go to college. And on my way out of town, I stopped at my dad's same F-150 pickup that I almost committed suicide in. I stopped at my dad's cemetery and I walked over and I said, you know, I sat there and cried at his tombstone. And I said to him, and I, word for word, I remember this, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, but I promise you I will change the world. And moved on. Didn't think much about that. I just said it. And then, but it stuck with me, Shannon, in the back of my head. I always knew there was something to that. And so I went on, I went to college and was fortunate enough to play rugby football in college, gained my first level of confidence playing a sport that I was a physically demanding sport. Then graduated from college, went on to a company called American Express Financial Advisors, became a financial advisor, then went into management. And I was entrusted with this group of this office in Livonia, Michigan, near Detroit, and to start this office of new advisors, which we did. We had about 30 financial advisors, but by the end of my first year, starting with only two. And I remember walking down the hallway one day, and two of my advisors who worked for me were walking ahead of me, and somebody met them in the hallway and said, "What are you guys up to today?" And they just said, "We're changing the course of the world." And it stuck me at that moment that what I told my dad at this time, 20 years or 10 years prior, was now I had transferred that over to a group of 30 financial advisors. And that became my living model the rest of my life is changing the course of the world. But to go back, during that time of the between the time of me coming to my dad's cemetery, my gravesite, and then 10 years later, when I was getting ready to leave American Express and start my own company after I'd started this office, a lot of shit happened. I mean, in college, I was a complete idiot. I was an asshole. I was highly, highly aggressive, at sometimes very violent. I was I feel remorse, but I don't have any. I wouldn't change what I went through in college.
You have no regrets.
But I have no regrets, but I have, you know, there's some remorse that I wish I would have done things differently. But I fought a lot. I fought when we were playing rugby on the rugby field. I fought in bars and restaurants and at parties. And I had a great deal of anger in me that I couldn't control at all. I couldn't. And so, you know, a lot of therapy helped. That helped a great deal. But that anger kind of carried over for many years. Even after college, and not really, the violence stopped, like the wanting to physically harm or hurt someone, that stopped back in college. I haven't been into a physical altercation in 30, 40 years, 35 years, I guess. But the anger still resided in me, man. And it still does. There's times when I did a podcast episode last year on the dark side. We all have that dark side that if you allow it to continue to burn, it's going to burn your soul. It's going to burn you. But if you can use that dark side as fuel for some ignition to take, help you go to the next level, then you can turn it into a positive. I couldn't do that for the longest time. I couldn't find a way to use this anger that I had, maybe even hatred for myself, for my life. I couldn't use it for positive. And so it took me down some paths of, you know, being horrible in relationships, being, you know, I couldn't connect with women that I dated. I was distant. I was focused on business or my children all the time. I couldn't commit myself to anyone. Drinking on occasion, I would go through phases where I would drink heavily for periods of time, you know, party with friends. I wouldn't sit home and drink alone, but I would definitely party with friends a lot. And it really was probably, well, even up through COVID, during COVID, I kind of started drinking heavily again for a few months. And then last year, I started doing it again, you know, drinking 3 or 4 days a week and, you know, not always like getting drunk. And it really, my time of stillness, I think you called it, I'm probably in it right now. To be honest with you, I've come to the realization that the promise I made to my father, I just realized this in the last 3 to 6 months, it's coming true, that, you know, I am changing the course of the world, you know, through a lot of things, but a lot of it's through, you know, meeting people like you and being able to have you on my show and being on your show and sharing our story and our testimonials to other people. If, you know, I'll just stop there and see, is that kind of what?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. Because as we talked earlier before the podcast, right, about the there's the cycle of addiction and then there's the cycle of transformational growth. And as you were just finishing up, I'm like, you're on the completion. There's never a completion of the transformational of growth cycle that I was explaining to you a little bit earlier, but you're definitely on that transformational cycle of growth because you acknowledge the pain, right? Which you've had throughout the years. There's that self-awareness. From that self-awareness, the curiosity kicks in, right? The pain is never going to go away. I know that right. Just as well as you do. The pain is never going to go away, but the pain that we hold from our past and from our childhood or whatever we've experienced in our past, it's a wound. And as we talk more and more about those times in our life, those wounds slowly close and then they become scars. And that's where you're getting to. You know, you are who you are and you acknowledge that and you accept that. And, you know, just by talking with you the last few times to the podcast or whatever, like you're embracing your journey. And that's the whole part of all of this, because so many people out there aren't there yet. And I want those people to know that that's why we're here. That's why we talk openly and honestly about where we've been and where we're going, because we want those people to have that hope and to know that they are not alone.
I couldn't agree more. You know, Shannon, I did a show this morning that won't air for a, it won't air for a while, but the guest was so powerful, and it really something stuck with me. He has gone through burned as a child, had ruptured intestines, then he had cancer, then their house, family house burned down when he was, you know, just 3 or 4 years ago. Then he went through a depression stage, had to be hospitalized. And he's a professional, he's a speaker, he's a writer, I mean, he's a coach, and this amazing man. And he said something about today when I was talking to him, there's a difference between dealing with something and healing from something. Chloe, go in your bed. Sorry, my dog is tic-tacking around her with her little paws on. She's probably going to jump in my lap.
That's okay.
And I really like that statement, Shannon, because I'm thinking, you know, I know I've gone through a lot of therapy and I do a lot of self-reflection, you know, and all this inner work, but still dealing. I thought about that, dealing with the trauma that you've gone through. Yeah, we all can do that. Not everybody does deal with it, or we all deal with it. We deal with it in either a functional way, in a healthy way, or a dysfunctional, unhealthy way. But not everybody, we all deal with it some way. But then do we go to the next stage and do we heal from it? Like that, let that scar tissue, let it scar over, you know, let it heal, let it clear, let it, you know, the wound scar over so you're more protected. And I thought to myself, I don't know that I've really healed from a lot of, you know, I've dealt with a lot of shit, but have I really healed from it? And heal is not cured. You know, curing means it's gone away. Healing means you've accepted it.
Yeah.
And you're being able to move away from it. But I don't know. It was just an interesting concept.
And that is a very interesting concept, because I can look at the different people and scenarios or circumstances, whatever it is within my life. And there were times, I'll be honest with you, Brian, where I really did think that I did deal with it and I healed from it. But if that trigger of that specific time or whatever is popping up for me, then I know that, no, you know what? I haven't healed from it. But at least I acknowledge that I'm dealing with it. And it's, but then I look at other situations in my life and it's like, I know that I've dealt with it and I know that I've healed from it, because it doesn't, I have that no more emotional attachment. And for me, that's what I know the difference is, because I can literally just praise and release, and I can, you know, it's just whatever, you know, it's in my past. It's all good, you know, but there are some, I don't know, to be honest with you. Do we ever get to that point in our life where we literally deal and heal from everything? I don't know.
I don't know either.
All I can say is, on a daily basis, I'm sure as hell going to try. And that's where I'm never going to give up, you know?
Yeah.
I'm never going to let those circumstances or situations or whatever affect me from making my decisions or my choices or where I'm going to go in life. That to me is the most important thing, you know, because I've got dreams, I've got, you know, goals, I've got my whole life ahead of me, you know, and if any of those things stop me, it's not going to happen.
Good-willed. Shannon, there's nothing that's going to stop you.
Oh, thanks.
Dude, I knew that the first time I talked to you on the phone. I'm like, this is the beginning of a long journey, man.
Oh, and you're a part of it. Just that's why I love it. Hey,
don't forget who put you on their podcast, though.
I know.
Don't forget that.
I'm not. No, you're going to be on stage with me soon here. We're going to make that work. Yeah. So, you know, those were really good things that you said, Brian. Like, absolutely wonderful, wonderful things. That deal and heal, that's going to get a lot of people thinking out there, absolutely, that are listening to this podcast.
Crazy. It's good stuff. It's simple stuff.
Yeah. So through your journey, what is it that you think you learned the most then?
You know, that's a really good question, because I knew that was coming, and I had to think about that, because I went through your list of questions and I knew that something for me, honestly, and I'll be honest with you, 6 months ago, I would have probably had a different answer. But I've really realized over the last few months is to have a raw purpose. I've learned that the shit I've gone through, you know, even divorce and, you know, things like that, what's got me through that, I can say my children got me through it, or my family. which obviously they are the motivation. But really what got me through that stuff as a child, then as a teenager in college, then professionally, then as a mature man, is having a raw purpose. Like having something I can always say, that's what I'm going for. All this stuff that's happening, this chaos around me, it hurts now, but I'm still moving forward toward that, which is really changing the course of the world. Now, that's a broad statement, but that's what's got me through, is having a raw purpose. Like it's my purpose. It's raw. It's real. And it came down to now how, over the last several years, I've been to determine how do you change the world? Obviously, I'm not talking about what venue, which is podcast coaching, book rights, writing books or whatever. It's teaching people to strive, love, and live in life. Strive to be your best, show love and respect to others and yourself, and live intentionally. And that's how I realized in the last 7 to 10 years that's how I'm going to change the world, is by teaching people that simple concept. And so I think what I've learned is just have a purpose. And it can't just be about other people, and it can't just be about yourself, from my opinion. Like Your purpose can't be, in my opinion, my children, they're my purpose. Well, that's not, because your children grow up, then are they still your purpose? If your children die before you, then where's your purpose? Your purpose has to be so big that everybody else benefits from your purpose.
You just saying that, like, as you're talking, I'm just, there's the fire in me, which is like going and going and going, right? Because I know my purpose. You know that I know my purpose 100% mm-hmm. where I'm going and what I'm doing. And it's all these little outside things that have happened to me, right? That freaking get my fire even going more. It's like, holy shit. Okay, now this is my driving force even more and more and more and more. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And I was just like, oh, yes. Yes, I love
you that. You have that raw purpose. There's no doubt.
I do. And I love every minute of it, believe me. Right. So what is it that you want others to know then? Is that what you just said? What you want others to know?
No, you know, Shannon, I think a thing to know, you mean about myself or like about life in general?
Anybody that's listening to this podcast right now, what is the number one advice that you want to give that individual?
Cut up your fake ID.
Cut up your fake ID?
Yeah, because, you know, when we were 19 years old, 18, 21, a lot of kids, including a lot of my friends, my son's friends, my daughter's friends probably, carried around a fake ID so they could buy alcohol. And it's funny, it's a joke, whatever. But I would venture to say, after 27 years of coaching other people, that 95%, if not more, and I'm being conservative with that number, of us carry around a fake identification. Because when we were all born, we had what I call your true ID. The person you were meant to be was formed. And you were very singular. You were very open. We were very raw. And there was nothing we couldn't do. We had no prejudices, no biases. And then all of a sudden, you were raw. And then all of a sudden, over time, culture, parents, teachers, friends, now social media, all these experiences and impacts around us start putting on different layers around us of, okay, now you have to believe this, or now you're this. A teacher tells you you're lazy, so now you're wearing that layer. Somebody says you're this, or you experience this in life. You experience abuse or rape or something traumatic, and all of a sudden, or divorce, and you put that other layer on you. Pretty soon, you wake up and you're, as a middle-aged person, say, I don't recognize myself.
Yeah.
Because there's been so many damn fucking layers put on us by other people or by our own experiences. You know, there's a quote by Michelangelo. He had painted, or I'm sorry, he had sculpted, Shannon, this angel outside of this cathedral. And someone asked him, you know, how do you do this? How do you sculpt this angel? He said, I saw the angel in the marble and I sculpted until I set him free.
And that's beautiful.
Isn't that something? And I believe that. I believe we are all born, and I'm even talking in a spiritual sense. You could take it that way, in a religious sense or spiritual, but we're all born pure. And if we were just left alone and didn't have all these outside, we would go on and we would change the world. Every one of us would, in a positive way. We had this pure, true identification. All of a sudden, boom, all these layers of marble, and to use Michelangelo's quote, bit layered on us, and all of a sudden we don't even know who we are anymore. So going back, I think the best piece of advice I've ever given myself, my loved ones, or my clients, or my audience members is to please start shedding those layers. Start identifying who do you want to become. List all of the roles you play in life: mother, father, son, business owner, brother, you know, partner, whatever. Every of your primary roles, list those out. Then list what it would look like if you were perfect in that role, and say, I am an incredibly engaged, positive, loving, happy role model to my children. And that's your perfect you. That's your true person inside. And put all your goal, your roles that you play, your primary important roles, and then put an I am statement that would describe you if you were the perfect person playing that role. And every day read it out loud. Convince that subconscious mind.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I did.
It's your manifestation stuff that you do.
Yeah. I changed my identity to what I wanted to be. And yeah. I'll tell you that is literally what set me free beyond set
beautiful.
Me free. Yeah.
And no, look at you now.
Yeah. Look at me. You know, like my whole world has changed. You know, anybody that thinks that they knew me even a year ago, they don't know me. They have no clue who I am, because I didn't even know who I was back then. Right now I know who I am. And yeah, the people that are in my life, I do truly love, and I know that they love me, right? And yeah.
Well, the thing is, they know your fake ID. They don't know your real ID.
They know the broken Shannon. You know, the Shannon that was the people pleaser, the chameleon, right? Because I conformed to whatever anybody wanted me to be, so I would be liked and I would be loved, right? But then, just as soon as I started to break free from that, you know, people didn't recognize me anymore. You know, they're just like, you know, and I'm into vibration and energy and stuff like that. My energy changed, my vibration changed. And there was that no longer that you are who you attract, because I no longer attracted them around me anymore. Right. So yeah, that excellent. Absolutely excellent. So where are you now, Brian, in life?
I'm happy. I'm not happy. I shouldn't say I'm happy. I'm satisfied with where I'm going right now, and I'm satisfied where I'm at in the present. Like I don't feel this need anymore. And I felt it for my entire life, really, to prove something, to go to that next level. And I still have that same drive. I have it more, but the reason I was driven before was I would have been driven most of my adult life, but I was always driving myself because I was running away from where I am. Now I'm driving myself to the next level. So I just feel better. Like I don't feel the pressure to perform. I feel the desire to perform, the desire to improve. And it's such a weight. You know, I've dramatically limited my alcohol intake, which is great. I just feel more energy. I feel more clarity, more focus. Optimism, man. I just feel so much more optimistic. I have shed a lot of bad skin, and I feel like I'm the snake that's emerging, the pretty snake that was always there. It's like I'm shedding those old layers of marble that were wrapped around me all those years. They're still there. I still have layers, trust me, but I've gotten rid of a lot of them, and I'm getting rid of more every day. And the beauty of it is, like, working with you and getting to know you and doing what you do. And, you know, you and I share the same passion and journey and mission in this world. We get to also help other people do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. We do. Yeah.
I wouldn't want to follow anybody who's never gone through something like I'm going through. And I don't want to lead people. I wouldn't lead people unless I've gone through something like they're going through. So, and I'm just getting better. I'm getting better every day.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Do you have any final words that you want to say to the audience? Talk about your podcast a little bit. And
sure. I mean, yeah, I'd love to have it.
Yeah. And I just want the audience to know too, that whatever Brian says, everything will be put into the podcast notes. So if you are extremely attracted to Brian, just go into the podcast notes, look him up, and you will find everything about him there.
Sure. You know, anybody can reach out to me anytime. But yeah, right now, Shannon, the focus is continuing to build my performance coaching practice, working with new people, We're bringing on new clients right now. I haven't brought on new clients for 2 years because I've been focusing on the growth of the podcast. We're now bringing on new clients again, which is great because I love working with new people. I just love, you know, meeting new people. So that's a focus. Getting back to speaking post COVID, that's now, you know, we've had a couple of speaking engagements. Again, we're speaking at Michigan State University here next month. And just, you know, try to do one or two speaking engagements a month right now while we continue to build the podcast. We just recorded episode 100 this morning, 100th episode. And we're doing one a week, which is, I love doing. It's just fun. And then getting my book published and finished. So that's the goal is June of 24 to be ready for publishing. So I got a long ways to go in that. So, but anybody who wants to jump on the podcast, it was such an honor to have Shannon on there, and your podcast, Shannon, has really done extremely well. By the way, it's the Bamboo Lab podcast on Spotify. It's on all the platforms. So would love to have anybody tune in, and you can reach out to me with my www.bamboolab3.com is the email or is my website. Anybody wants to reach out, just reach out with questions. I mean, I'll talk to anybody about their problems and see if I can help. And you know, Shannon does a great job of what she does, and she and I complement each other, but also we have different specialties. So yeah, reach out anytime. I'd love to talk to people.
I got to say one of the most special things about me doing my podcast is I have met so many amazing people the world, and I've learned so much. They've learned so much from me, but just the connection, I just love it. I love it.
You know, before we wrap up, I know Shannon, my guest this morning said something on the podcast that stuck with me. He goes, do what you love and do it with people you love most. Mm-hmm. Do what you love in life with people you love most. And I'm like, and he talked a lot about connection. I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
We're lucky. We're blessed, my friend. We're blessed. We get to do a lot of cool stuff and get to meet a lot of really cool people.
But we wouldn't be here unless we didn't get rid of our fear. And that's right, the thing I want people to know, you know, go past that fear, because once you jump past that fear, that's where all the growth is. Oh, it's exciting. It took me a lot to get here, but I finally did it.
Well, there are two types of pain, the pain of overcoming fear or the pain of regret later. So you get to choose it.
Yeah, you betcha. Oh, Brian, this was so amazing. Thank you, my friend, so much for being on my podcast and being a part of my journey, and
you're awesome.
Our relationship will continue for sure. I appreciate it.
Sure will, my friend. You're awesome. I'm in your corner. I'm cheering you on all the way, man. I can't wait to watch you on TV doing TED Talks. I can't wait to read your first book, second book.
Well, you know what? I've got my first book is already written and published. How in the hell did I get here?
That's right.
But now, you know what? Like, because of my podcast and everything, I'm debating whether or not I should do a book collaboration with my guests, which would be called You Are Not the Only One. That doesn't matter. That's coming no matter what. But now I'm debating about writing about from my last book up until now, because there's so much to say, there's so much growth. And for anybody that's, you know, read my first book, that was my time of healing and my forgiveness and stuff like that. But right. Now everybody has seen me grow from there. Well, what have I done? Right. And so I think that's where I might be getting into a second book there, but the book collaboration is a sure thing. That's a done deal. It's just a matter of when I'm going to do right. that too. Right. Cause I'm getting wonderfully busy beyond my wildest dreams, which I love every minute of it. So life is good. Life is good. So, well, you know what? Thank you so much. Final goodbyes. I just love you. This was amazing. Thank you.
I love you, dear. Keep striving, loving, and living, man.
Yeah, you betcha. I want to say thank you for sharing this time with me. And don't forget to subscribe so you receive every episode. And please share this podcast with others. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram. And if you would like more information on my mindset and manifesting coaching, go to shannonmondor.com. Until next episode, blessings to all, and thank you for being a part of my journey.